restore, to help, to build. Release that ancient word to your church today. I promise to be only a yielded vessel, and I will not touch your glory, nor tamper with your word. Calibrate my thinking to the frequency of the Holy Spirit. Speak a word into the lives of your children. May they be blessed beyond measure. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You may please be seated in His presence. The danger of discouragement. We have been looking at fighting discouragement. We looked at the revelation. And then we looked at disappointment. We looked at how we get discouraged. It starts from being disappointed. And then last week, we looked at how to overcome disappointment. We told you disappointment is normal. And so treat it as a normal event of life. We told you that when you are disappointed, know that God is faithful. And then we told you that, remember, God knows you can handle it. Then we told you that God, in every disappointment, will make a way of escape for you. We told you that you press on forward and you refuse to look back. And then we told you, in everything, give thanks. So these seven things, we put them into your spirit to help you fight disappointment. This morning, I want to get to the heart or the meat of the matter, the danger of disappointment, of discouragement. The danger of discouragement. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14. The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? What a question. The spirit of a man will sustain him in his sickness, or sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? Disappointment, if you stay disappointed for too long and you keep talking about it, and you keep talking about it because your tongue is the pen of a ready writer, will land you into discouragement. Now, friends, discouragement is dangerous. This scripture talks about your spirit sustaining you in sickness. But who can bear a broken spirit? In other words, when you are sick, your spirit sustains you. Doesn't matter what sickness it is. Watch the scripture. This is God's word. The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness. That is, even when your body is broken, your body is sick, your spirit will sustain the body. As long as your spirit is not broken, your body will be sustained. As long as your spirit is not broken, you can have a broken body, but you have an unbroken spirit or a strong spirit, you make it. But if you have a broken spirit and an unbroken body, you will not make it. So he says the spirit of a man will sustain him even in sickness when your body is broken. And then he goes on to say, but who can bear a broken spirit? We are not talking about a spirit that is broken in humility before God. No. Excuse me. We are talking about a discouraged spirit. Discouragement breaks your spirit. It doesn't break your leg. It doesn't break your foot. It doesn't break your hand. It maims your spirit. I want to give you a few pointers about discouragement. Please take note of about 7 or 8 of them. The first one is this: discouragement breaks your spirit. It's a wound to your spirit. Number 2, discouragement is self-implosion. It is self-inflicted. It is self-destructive. The enemy knows he cannot destroy you. He cannot fight you because the one in you is greater than the one in the world. So he will cause you to be discouraged because discouragement is you harming yourself. Discouragement is self-implosive. It is self-destructive. It is self-inflicted. He said, Pastor, but somebody caused me to be discouraged. No. Nobody can harm you. Nobody can cause you to be discouraged without your permission. You know why? You guard the gate to your heart. That's why the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. For out of your heart, out of your spirit, flows the issues of life. So you are the soldier over your heart. Number four, discouragement must be fought with all vigor, just as much as we fight all the other attacks of the enemy. You got to fight discouragement. It doesn't go away with time. It doesn't disappear with time. In fact, it's the opposite. The longer you stay discouraged, the closer it drags you to destruction. It doesn't go away. You say, oh, I'm discouraged. Okay, maybe a week to go away. No, it won't go away. You have to fight it. When it comes, it has no intention of going. It's not a visitor. It comes to stay. You need to fight it and evict it from your mansion. Number four. Okay. Discouragement must be driven out just as much as you drive out any attack in your spirit. You must drive it out. Drive it out. Next, watch this carefully. Complaining is a signal of a discouraged spirit. Continual complaining is a sure sign of someone who is seriously discouraged. Complaining. When you begin to complain, it's a sure sign that you are taking steps into discouragement. But when the complaints become bitter and repetitive, it's a sure sign that you've landed in the heart, in the throes of discouragement. Watch complaining. It is not a good thing. Some believe me, I speak my mind. I just say anything. No, you don't say anything. No, you don't. You got to guard your heart. Because Jesus told us something. He says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when your mouth is speaking, it's like drawing water out of the well of your heart. So when you are speaking bitterly, it means your heart is bitter. And a discouraged spirit is a broken spirit, is a bitter spirit. So when you speak, it's coming out of that well. You got to watch it. When you find every word coming out of your mouth, or most words coming out of your mouth, is not building somebody. It's not encouraging somebody. It's almost always tearing somebody down, almost putting down somebody. It's a discouraged spirit. You got to watch it. The last thing I want to say this morning is when you start blaming God and blaming people around you, you are discouraged. I'm giving you signs so you see when you are discouraged. Else you won't see it. Because discouragement is tricky. It will sneak in and you won't even know it. When you start blaming God and you start blaming people around you, you are discouraged. No matter what happens, consider God faithful. When you don't consider God faithful and you start blaming God, then discouragement has set in. And then when you start blaming people around you, have you seen people who are discouraged? It's always uncomfortable to be around them because they want to blame you. I mean, they are discouraged, but they'll blame you. Even when you have not done anything, they'll blame you. Because that's discouraging. And then seventh thing I want to say is, when you lose your sense of appreciation, you are discouraged. When you lose your sense of appreciation, you have become discouraged. May the Lord help us this morning. I'll give you three case studies. And I trust that we'll have time to look at all three of them. The first case study is Israel's encounter with the fiery serpents. Let's look at Numbers chapter 21. Numbers 21, verses 4 to 6. Numbers 21, verses 4 to 6. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loves this worthless bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us." People of Israel had come from Egypt. God, through mighty works, have brought them out of Egypt. People, it took God appearing to Moses in the burning bush to call him to go back to Egypt. It took God taking Moses, someone who was running away from the law. He was a fugitive. He was running away. But God said to Moses, "Moses, you are going back to face the same thing you are running away from. Go back." It took God signs and wonders, 10 mighty miracles that he performed through the hand of Moses to free Israel out of the hands of Egypt. From the rod turning into a snake to the death of the firstborns. 10 mighty miracles. And God brought Egypt. And he brought Israel out of Egypt. He led them through the wilderness. Miracle after miracle after miracle. I'll just tell you a few of the miracles. One of the miracles that up to now still astounds me. The Bible says that their shoes nor their clothes were not worn out for 40 years. I would like that. Folks, wouldn't you? Man, and all the men shall say, I didn't ask the women to say amen, because I won't get an amen. But look at Numbers 21 verse 4. Look at such a scripture. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. After having gone through all these miracles, clothes not worn out, shoes not worn out, they needed food to eat, and God rained bread from heaven. Since when did you last see bread coming from heaven? It defies every economic theory, every theory of productivity, because heaven has supplies. God gave them bread from heaven. I mean, these are a people God so supernaturally provided for. Watch it. While they were in the wilderness, it was so cold in the night. So God gave them warmth by the pillar of fire. We've slept on the desert before, and trust me, just by a lot near the Red Sea, when you go to the Negev, it's pretty cold in the night because we wanted to experience what it was. In the night, it's very cold because there are no clouds. And in the day, because there are no clouds, it's also very hot. So you have extreme temperatures. In the day, God also gave them a pillar of cloud to cover them from the excessive heat. In the night, he gave them a pillar of fire to provide warmth. So Israel was provided for on all fronts. Their clothes, their shoes, even their comfort. God provided for them. Food, free manna. One day they said, we are tired of just bread. Give us some meat. God gave them quails. But along the way, they met challenges. So when they met challenges, Bible says their soul became discouraged. Now, when you meet challenges, they are meant to get you to be disappointed, because a challenge is anything that will stretch you, and sometimes you want to overcome it and you don't overcome it, so you become disappointed, right? But it's not a sin to be disappointed. But when you allow that disappointment to move you into the realm of discouragement, then all of a sudden, you breach divine order and you breach divine principles. The same people, Israel, after God had supernaturally provided for them, when they met challenges, look at what they said. Their people became discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. Ah! Wasn't it the same Israel who were praying and asking God, God, get us out of Egypt? And God said to Moses, the cries of my people have gotten to me, so go back to Egypt and get them out of there. Were they not calling on God? Was Israel not praying? Now when they became discouraged, you know what they said? Why have you brought us out of Egypt? But you asked God to get you out of Egypt. Among the seven things I gave you, I said, watch it. When you start complaining, discouragement has hit you. I'm telling you, I am praying God. This morning we prayed. I said, God, let not a single soul miss a revelation, because this message is sent by the Lord to deliver you from the grips of the enemy. When you were hungry, you had no food to eat, God gave you manna. Now Israel is calling that manna worthless bread. Look at it. For there is no food and no water, and our soul hates this worthless bread. Israel, now you are bold enough to call the manna worthless bread. Why? Their souls were discouraged. Discouragement will cause you to be unappreciative. All of a sudden, the same wife who has been a blessing to you, when you get discouraged, you look at every harsh word to say to her. Oh, You look too fat. You look too fat. Hey, come on. Who made her fat? You. You've been giving her enough food to eat. You've been giving her enough love. She's very comfortable. She's enjoying her life. Leave her alone. Just leave them alone. Let them enjoy their lives, period. What you want is not what she wants. Just leave them alone. I'm tired of men always putting women under pressure. Lose weight, lose weight. Sometimes you have no idea. The pressure is unbearable. Just leave them alone. That's their life. Amen. You saw her, you married her. All of a sudden, you are now busy complaining because you are discouraged somewhere. And the same man who has been a loving husband, you used to look to him and love him and care. Now, all of a sudden, everything he does, you have something to talk about. Everything. And you, this, you are not like that. You are not like my friend's husband. Hey, go marry your friend's husband. When people become discouraged, they begin to speak against God and against Moses. You know, this same Moses who put his life on the line and came and became a deliverer to them, they used to hail him, wonderful Moses. Wow, wow, Moses, anointed Moses. Now, when they became discouraged, say, look at Rav Dati, look at his head. You know, look at this guy. Look at him. Now, his church is becoming big, so he's changed. I've only changed for the better. That's the truth. That's the truth. My time now is spent more seeking God and being in his presence. If you don't see me with a lot of time again, I'm telling you what is happening. I'm devoting a lot more time. And that's where you want your pastor to be. So the well can be rich. So you can drink from a rich well. When your pastor is everywhere, everywhere, you should be crying. Yeah, you should be. When I talk, when we get to the shepherd's week, I'll teach you. A lot of you don't know. You want your pastor. When he say nah, you want him there. When he say hey, you want him there. When he say ko, you want him there. When he say ka, you want him there. You know what you are doing? You are polluting the well. When he stands, you can't drink from a healthy well because he has not had time to go into the Holy of Holies, the inner sanctuary. He has not had time to spend time with God. He has not had it. I'm telling you, he will make noise, but little impact. The same God who has been there for Israel, now when they became discouraged, look at what they started saying. God, why did you bring us from Egypt? Worthless bread. Be watchful of discouragement. It will let you come against God. And when you come against God, God is fierce in battle. He is fierce in battle. When he goes to warfare, he's fierce in battle. He's fierce in battle. There is time for grace, but when you cross that grace line and God begins to fight you, that's why I like David. David said, Lord, instead of me falling in your arms, or instead of me falling into the arms of my enemies, let me rather fall in your arms, because with you, there is mercy. Because when God is against you, who are you going to run to? Be careful of this dangerous spirit. The same manner you're calling it worthless bread. You know, this thing touches my heart so much. And some of you, sometimes we need to be very careful. And let me just say this, and I say it all the time. When you become discouraged, don't use all this wonderful social media we have to put on all this nonsense about what you feel and what you are and where you are, and I feel like this, and you put Facebooks for everybody to see that you are sad. Why? Give me one reason why you do that. So you want everybody to know that your God is such a mean God because things are not going well for you.
In fact, some of you in Jesus' name must shut down your Facebook accounts because you don't know how to use them. Every garbage you put on it. What about, last week I told you, let me say it again, because I'm feeling it in my spirit, somebody must hear. If you can't use it to build up people and tell people about the goodness of God, just shut it down. You don't know. It's not for you to tell everything happening in your life. You are not an exposition. You know what? You know what? You know what Jesus said? He said, I'm sending you as sheep into the midst of wolves. He said, be as gentle as a dove and as wise as a snake. You know what that means? The wisdom of a snake. Anytime you see a snake, you kill it, right? Okay. How does the snake become big? The snake knows how to hide and flourish. By the time he shows up, you see him, you run away. But when you see a baby snake, you will kill it. The wisdom of a snake is to hide and flourish. Sometimes hide and flourish. And please, for lack of a better word, shut up. But many of you are shooting down yourselves and you don't even know it. I have nothing against Facebook accounts. I don't have one, I don't want to, and I don't really care. But all I'm trying to tell you is some of you who have it don't know how to use it. You put on dirty pictures of yourself, exposing your ways of living that do not please God. And why are you doing such things? If you have a weakness, don't you want God to help you? Why do you want to expose it? And then every day, I'm going to the market. Who wants to know where you're going? Then you are tweeting, I'm not feeling good today. So what? I mean, so what? So what? Who cares? When you are discouraged, I'm trying to show you these things, they show up. They show up because you begin to say things against God and against Moses and against the leadership God has placed on you. And children will speak against mother and father. And mother and father will speak against parents and things like that. The same mother-in-law who gave you a son or a daughter to marry, all of a sudden she becomes a witch because you are discouraged. And all those things must end in Jesus' name. Because a broken spirit, who can bear? Let's look at second case, and then hopefully I can finish it. Numbers chapter 13. Look at Numbers chapter 13. Pick it up from verse 8 to 12. So let me pick it up from verse 2. And from verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone, a leader from among them. God said to Moses, send all these men, send them, because I want them to go and possess the land. And then jump all the way to verse 28. The people have now come back. And listen to the report they are bringing. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report. Say a bad report. Say a bad report. You know why I want you to say a bad report? so that next time when you hear one, you can call it by its name. Whether it comes from your wife, your husband, your pastor, your friend, your neighbor, your deacon, your deaconess, call it, look at him or her and say, listen, what you're telling me is a bad report. The moment you call something by its name, it loses its power. No, I'm going to tell you something. It's just between you and I. No, call it a bad report. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. That there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, and we are like grasshoppers in our own sight, and we were in their sight. If I see you, if I look at you, do you know what I'm seeing? These bad reporters, 12 of them were sent, 10 came with a bad report. And they were so exaggerative. They said, listen, we were like grasshoppers in our eyes when we saw them. And even in their eyes, we were like grasshoppers. How can a human being be a grasshopper? Number one. Number two, how could you even see what they were going through? So all the children of all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness, why has the Lord brought us up this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? Oh, Israel. Oh, can somebody say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Israel, when I read these accounts, sometimes my heart just breaks. Honestly. Discouragement is a terrible spirit. Look at how it came across. 12 spies sent to go and look at the land and bring a report. 10 of them brought a bad report. The two said, listen, we can do it. Let's go do it. But somehow, human beings are prone to hearing bad things. You know, anytime somebody comes to you to tell you a bad report about somebody, chances are you really want to hear it. I know you won't say it true, but you know I'm telling you the truth. Look at the media. Bad news sells. That's why the tabloids, they'll put on catchy phrases to catch your attention. So they brought a bad report. They said, we can't do it. We can't go. God has said we can go. No, we can't go. God has said we'll take it. No, we can't do it. Now look at what happened. The people woke up in the night. They cried through the night. Their spirits were broken. They cried through the night. They cried, not because they were crying unto God for help, but they cried out of discouragement. They just cried. Self-pity. Watch the tears you cry sometimes. Cry unto God because you need him to help you. But don't cry out of self-pity. Don't do a pity party. No one will attend. They just cried unto God. Hey, look at me. Self-pity is you recounting all the negatives, and Satan will keep giving you more examples, putting more fuel in it. By the time you finish, you are so discouraged. Now Israel is saying, We should have stayed in Egypt. May God forgive us. Oh, I should have even stayed back in Nigeria. It was better for me when I was in Congo. In Angola, I was doing better than when I came to Canada. No, I know you have not said that. I know you didn't say that. I know. When I was in Ghana, I was doing much better. Here, look at me. May God forgive you. Bad report. We hear bad report. So these are the dangers of discouragement. And you know, they started blaming God. Why has the Lord brought us? The same God who brought you, now you accuse and complain against him. So, verse 4. So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Why are you laughing? It sounds funny, right? They have crossed the Red Sea. In fact, they should have been allowed to return. We'll see how they'll cross the Red Sea. When you get discouraged, do you realize sometimes, excuse my language, you say a lot of foolish things? Because you're discouraged. You're not even making sense. How can Israel go back into Egypt? So they run back to Egypt. We have come. Put us back into bondage. Make us slaves again. Willingly we've come. All because you met a challenge along the way. You want to give up everything. You want to throw everything away. You get so discouraged. You just say things. And not only you. Me too. I told God 2 years ago, kill me. Thank God he had mercy on me. May God have mercy on all of us. Aren't you glad God didn't answer every prayer you prayed? From that day, I began to thank God for the prayers he didn't answer. Seriously. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us. A land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. So all of a sudden, two men with a spirit that is different. Oh, they rise up and they begin to speak faith. Men who are not discouraged, women who are not discouraged, they speak faith. They look at the impossibility and say, it shall be done. Every time somebody is pushing you down the tube because you are complaining and you say, actually, you are right, though. The person is killing you. You need somebody who will stand up and say, yes, I heard what you said, but it shall be well with you. Am I making sense to somebody? I want to visit my daughter, Grace, while she was in the hospital, and I heard her complain, and I looked at her, I said, shut up. And she was so angry at me. Now you know why I said shut up. Because you're going to use your mouth to kill your life. I said, shut up! And she got mad. I said, that's fine. Let me tell you the word of God. And I began to preach faith. I began to speak faith. A patient who was opposite her in the same room somehow was eavesdropping. And I began to speak faith and speak faith and speak faith and speak faith. And I said, it shall be well with you. This is a challenge, but many are the afflictions of the righteous. God will deliver you. God is still faithful. You will rise up, you will sing his praise. And you're going, yeah. Okay. But somebody was listening. And when I left, that person asked, who was the man who was here? He said, while he spoke, it sounded like Jesus was talking to me. Next time I went, he said, please bring me CDs and everything. I gave her CDs. This was a patient who had a brain tumor, right? While you were not listening, she was listening. Because the word of life and the word of faith will swallow death. And don't join someone who is drowning. Don't push him or her down. Stop them and say, hey, it shall be well with you. When you see somebody going through, don't just look at it and say, look, you look so bad. Why are you saying that? The person knows he's looking bad already. Why are you drowning? Look at him and say, listen, the last time I saw you, I trust now you are looking much better. God is with you. Speak faith into the person. Anytime somebody in this house will say that, look at them and say, bad reporter. If you do that 2 times, they will stop. Now, these days, you don't even sing well. Have you prayed for me? Did you spend 1 hour to pray for them before coming to church? You have no right to complain against somebody you have not invested in.
Somehow, Joshua and Caleb, Bible says they were of a different spirit. Every time you meet and somebody is going and complaining and speaking, somebody must be of a different spirit. Don't join the gang to sing doldrums and sing defeat and sing discouragement. Stand up and say, hey, it shall be well with us. This is not that bad. God is with us. We are going forward. Be of a different spirit. Let me conclude. He said, the land is exceedingly good. Verse 10. And all the congregation said to one, all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. Now, by day speaking and saying that it is well, God is with us, the people now took stones, ready to stone them. Discouragement is so terrible, it can make you a murderer. Let me close. Next week we'll pick it up. I couldn't complete. It's a dangerous spirit. That's why you got to watch it. Whatever discouragement touches, it will kill. These men are speaking life because you are discouraged. But you know what? They sit down and they say, let's just kill them. Why? We don't want to hear what they are saying. If you don't want to hear what they're saying, just say, okay, Joshua, kill them. We don't want to hear what you are saying. But why kill them? Why tear their reputation apart? Why go online and put dirty stuff there to make your friend look bad and make your brother look so bad just because you are angry, just because you are discouraged? Nowadays, with all the online stuff, anyone at all can go there and say anything. Anything. Just anything. And get away with it. May the Lord deliver you if you've been a victim of discouragement or someone you were trying to help turn around to stone you. May God deliver you. I've been through this many, many times. People have always helped. In fact, I'm used to it. They get around, they're ready to stone me. Okay, stone. It's just part of the calling. You have to understand the part of the ministry. But it's part of it. So why will Paul say, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Because that's how it is. It's not the angels who minister with you who will stone you. The demons will do it in the realm of the spirit. But the human beings, they will take stones. The same cell member you prayed for and gave food to, when he's full, because the food is finished, he forgot that last week you did grocery for him. You gave him ride to church. Now you say, oh God, I can't do it anymore. There's no love in the church. But you gave her right to church the other day. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help his people. Discouragement is destroying the body of Christ. And many times we don't even know. But it tears us apart. And it by now you know. Do you know that Israel, over 600,000 people, left Egypt? If you count all the increase in population along the way, we are looking at over 1 million people. But because they complained, and I'll look at it next week, I don't have time to delve into it. Because they complained, God killed all of them. Only two got to the promised land. When Israel began to complain
against God and saying the worthless bread, you know what God did? God sent serpents, snakes, to come and bite them. Do you know, for a long time, I thought it was the devil who did that. Until years ago, when I started to study the subject deeper, God himself sent snakes to come and kill them because discouraged people have nothing good to say. When you speak against God, he's fierce. May the Lord help us. Oh, may the Lord help us. Oh, may the Lord help us. And this day, may you put aside every discouragement. I mean, I knew God had called me. I knew God has, by his grace, anointed me to do the work. But 2 years ago, here am I telling God, God, I want to die. Why? Did I forget about the goodness of God? Because I was discouraged. It's not only you. Me too. That's why all of us must watch out. I'm not here preaching at you. I'm delivering a message. So God forgot about the call. He forgot about what he had asked me to do. No, he didn't. But when you get discouraged, you say things you're not supposed to say. And you and I know we all fall prey to these things. Next week, hopefully I can finish this part of the message. And then we'll go into deeper prayer. And then we'll ask God to forgive every word we've uttered out of discouragement. But even before next week, right now, while you sit there, can you just take a moment, just 1 minute, tell God, any word I have said in my moment of discouragement, may you forgive me. Oh, I don't like this man. Ah, why did I even marry this woman? Why did I even marry this man? May you ask God, say, God, forgive me. The things we say in our moments of discouragement are so deadly. They're so dangerous. Why will God send serpents to come and bite his own people? Why will all these people leave Egypt and only two get to the promised land? God killed all of them because of discouragement. Next week we'll go deeper. Take a moment and pray. When peace like